Because I could just pick up my Bible and do it. It just won't be any notes till we get it together. But anyhow, what I want to do is read Ephesians 4, 5. And I think I'll just read it to you since we can't read it up on the overhead. All right. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, I just want to say this as a caveat, that many of you have heard this horrible rumor that I don't water baptize, and it drives you crazy, and you're thinking, what's wrong with Steve? Because he usually preaches the word, but he doesn't water baptize. Now, am I just, is it only me? Or have you heard that before? Okay, all right. So what I want to do is go over in the Word of God to explain it all to you so you understand where I'm coming from. Whether you want to be water baptized or not, that's up to you. I want to show you where my position is, and I think I have a good, strong, biblical position on this. And he's going to be a preacher one day. Okay, so turn with me to Luke 3:3, if you have your Bibles, and if you don't, you're in big trouble. Is it getting there? No? Huh? Okay. All right, Luke 3:3. This is not the time to have technical problems. When I get an hour sermon in a half hour. Okay, everybody got their Bible, Luke 3:3? Are you there? And if people don't have their Bibles, can you kind of share your Bible with them so they can take a look at it? All right. In 3:3, it says, and he went into all the region about Jordan. This is John the Baptist, okay? And I want to start with John, and I want to go all the way through the New Testament on it. And he went into all the region around the Jordan River, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, I want you to hear what he says, a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, what does remission mean? Good. Forgiveness, removal. And so this is a baptism for the removal of sin. Now, what's interesting is in the Jewish culture, they had what was called a mikveh, and that is a baptismal tank. If you went to a Baptist church or you went to a temple, they looked the same. And it was a purification. When they went on Sabbath day, on Saturday morning, when they would go to church, they would dunk into this mikveh, wear very little clothing, whatever they could, and dunk in there completely under, come back up and confess their sins for the week. Realizing that when they took their animals to the temple, that would really be their forgiveness. But it would be like a cleansing and getting their conscience right so they could worship God. Okay, so that was standard. When I was in Israel, every synagogue that they dug up, we went to had a mikveh. That was standard practice. That's where the Protestants have gotten their practice with water baptism. It was an immersion. It happened every week, not one time, and therefore you can serve in the church or whatever we've made it to be. It was every time, okay? So we getting there? Okay, almost. All right, and I have some pictures of some mikvahs that you can look at. Anyhow, John the Baptist comes, and he's Jesus even says, if you can understand this, he's Elijah, because it was talking about Elijah. It says, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And what that's talking about is when John the Baptist came along, he's going to introduce Jesus Christ to Israel, and then they would accept him as the Messiah of Israel. Oh, you are awesome. All right. Hey, we got some good people back there, don't we? All right. Now, let me just back up. Yeah, give him a hand, okay? Okay. Oh, I'm going down. Okay, Let me go back up again. I'm sorry. John always tells me I got to go slow on this. Okay, so we have the one baptism. That's what we're talking about. And let me just show you the mitzvahs and then mikveh. Sorry, mitzvahs is good works. Okay, here's some tanks. Oh, this one right here is just on the south end of the holy city of Jerusalem. These are some other, that's the one that's on there. Here's one that has water in it. I don't think anybody's using it. In modern day, in the synagogues, they have these. And see, doesn't it look familiar if you've been into a church that does immersion? Some of you came from Sprinkle. Here's one where they're putting the baby in because it's a cleansing, purifying of the law of Moses. Obviously, the baby doesn't know what he's deciding, right? Okay. And then here's one where the gentleman's taken his baby, and then when he gets dried off and dressed, they get dressed, they go on into synagogue, and they do their worship. When in the military, a lot of times what they do, this is the Mediterranean, they pray, and then the military guys all dunk themselves down underneath the water in the Mediterranean and purify themselves for the Sabbath. And then here's a modern day one with water. Okay. And so we're talking about this. John the Baptist went into the region around Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the removal of sins. Okay. A water baptism that all of a sudden saved them. Now, they always had water baptism, but they did not have water baptism that saved them. They had water baptism that cleansed them from Moses' law and ceremonial. And so this was kind of a new thought. And they would ask John, by what authority are you doing this? Okay. And he was doing it in the Jordan River. Now, when I was in Israel, I was above Galilee, and we went to the Jordan River in September, and that's about the time that John the Baptist was baptizing in September. And it's when the water flows the most. It comes straight out of Mount Hermon. It comes right underneath the mountain and flows all the way down to the Dead Sea. It's a long, long, from one end of Israel to the other. And so he's there, and so we're standing there, and the water's maybe this deep, and so the guy's teaching this, and he's getting down into the river, and he's hanging in there, and pretty soon he dunks his head under and brings it back up, and he says that's exactly what would have happened. We have this idea that this quiet river, and you just baptize. Well, it wasn't quite that way. The Jordan was kind of a fast river. But there were some quieter spots. And so John would try to find some of those quieter spots. But the place that we went was exactly where they think one the first baptism that he did was. And it's kind of funny to watch in a way, you know. All right, so I want to go one step back now. Make sure I got them all. Yeah, okay, good, all right. Okay, now in the Christian church, the Christian church has adopted the water baptism, but we have all kinds of baptism. We have adult baptism for salvation in some churches, like the Church of Christ, the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, where they're baptized then we have adult baptism not for salvation. That would be your Bible churches, your Baptist church, and so on. Then you have adult baptism because God commanded it, or Christ commanded it in Matthew, and which is kind of similar. And then you have adult baptism for outward work of an inward sign, which isn't a scriptural statement. It's just a statement that somebody got that everybody adopted. So, and then you have baptism for mission. Membership and service, okay? If you want to serve in the church, you need to be water baptized, okay? And then you got child baptism. In reading that from the Lutheran and the Catholic and the higher churches, Episcopal and that kind of thing, they do child baptism, and child baptism is not in the scripture at all. Do you realize that? It's not in the scripture, but they do it in place of circumcision. Now, who does circumcision belong to? Israel, not us, okay? We might do it for health reasons and that kind of thing, but the problem is they could circumcise the boys, they couldn't circumcise the girls, so they went to child baptism in order to feel like they were kind of accomplishing part of the law. You have a child baptism for salvation. They have to do that in order to be saved. You have child baptism for membership into the body of Christ, and then you have churches that don't do baptism at all. So it's the full gamut from one extreme to the other. And so when we say water baptism, we have one idea in mind, and that's the previous church you went to, right? Okay, but there's several, and I probably don't have them all down. Okay. So I'm going to start with the beginning with John's ministry, and I got a little arrow on there, and I'm going to help you because we're going to go all the way through to Paul so that you kind of get it. And we're going to start with John's ministry here, and we've talked about his baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins. All right, we've looked at this, and now I'm caught up, and I'm halfway through. Okay. Then we get to verse 8 of Luke 3, and it says, therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Now, what are fruits? Anybody got an idea? Good works. Thank you, Steve. It's good works. And so this is a baptism of repentance, a baptism of repentance, but not just I'm sorry for my sin like we do and forgive me for my sin. It's that they have to demonstrate that by works. And then when they asked John, what do we do? And they said, if you have two coats, give one away. If the tax collector came and said, well, what about us? Well, don't cheat the people. Well, that's not our salvation message, is it? It's because we're talking about Israel. And I want you to understand how God deals with Israel differs than how he deals with us. Okay? And you'll see this through this study. Okay. We get to verse 16 of Luke, and it says, and John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. Who's that? Jesus Christ, okay? He will baptize you with what? Holy Spirit and fire. So John's baptizing with water. Jesus is going to come, and he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now let's go to Jesus' ministry. Let's see what he says. We get to Mark 16, and we get to verse 14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. Why 11 and not 12? Judas is gone, okay? Because this is after he's risen from the dead. He comes back and visits the disciples, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. And I love that verse because when I was young and went to the Baptist church, they had that printed across the front of the church. Okay, with the Jordan River coming down to the baptismal tank. And so I would see that each time. And then Jesus says this, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, is that what John said? Yeah. He said a baptism of repentance for the removal of sin. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Of course, he won't be baptized if he doesn't believe. Okay, so what does Jesus say here? Salvation is belief and baptism, okay? John says a baptism of repentance for the removal of sin. Same thing, all right. Now, let's go, that's Christ's resurrection. Now we're going to go to Peter, Pentecost, in chapter 2. And he's talking to Israel. It's 50 days after the Passover, and Christ has died and risen again, and Peter's explained it to them what happened here. And so we start with verse 36 here, and it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized. Sound familiar? Okay. In the name of Jesus Christ, he has that for the remission of sins, for the removal of sins, for the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's the promise. Jesus is going to bring the Holy Spirit. Okay. Everybody following me so far? Okay. When he says that, he's saying repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, the very same thing that John the Baptist said. So even after Christ's resurrection, it's still the same thing. All right, so let's review. Repent and be water baptized for the removal of sin. John, Jesus, he who believes and is water baptized will be saved because the Holy Spirit isn't there yet. John, Christ will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Peter, repent and be baptized in water for the removal of sin and receive the Holy Spirit. So we have water, first of all. Then we have water and Spirit. Okay, and I want you to note there, when he's talking to the house of Israel, no Gentiles have been saved. We don't even see Gentiles saved till Acts chapter 10. All right. Now, are you liking this kind of teaching? Does it help? Okay, all right, let's keep going. All right, now we're going to go to stoning of Stephen, because this is really significant. In the Christian community, some of us have been talking about it, the problem is we don't understand the whole Jewish culture. Now, we got a guy over here that's lived in Beersheba for how many years? 2 years, getting his MD. Do we understand the Jewish culture? Not much, huh? Yeah, okay. We don't really get it. We don't understand that they live by the law of Moses. They have these ceremonial things, or at least the traditional Jew. And so we get to the stoning of Stephen, and I want to back up. Jesus says there's an unpardonable sin. Now, we do our best to try to adopt that as Gentiles, but it doesn't apply to us. He says to Israel, if you deny the Father, it will be forgiven you. If you deny the Son, it will be forgiven you. But if you deny the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven you. Okay? We get to the stoning of Stephen, and Stephen's kind of right out there. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in your heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with his teeth. Now, I don't know what that means. Did he go to him or did he bite him? Because a lot of time gnashing is biting. And I think they jumped Stephen and started biting on him. They were so mad because he's telling them, you're rejecting the Holy Spirit. Those Jews know what that means because Jesus said that's going to be the unpardonable sin. All right. And so it says, verse 55, but he being full of the Holy Spirit gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, God. Now, you have to understand that when the scripture talks about God standing, it means there's judgment, okay? And these people know that, okay? Now, watch what happens when he says that, because if he says he looks in heaven and sees Jesus standing, what does that matter if it doesn't mean anything, right? So, standing at the right hand of God, then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears. They stuck their fingers in their ears and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city of Jerusalem and stoned him. Okay, now I think what happened here, see, the original purpose was that Jesus would become Messiah. He would save Israel. They'd go into the tribulation, and then we all would become proselytes into Judaism. And we'd live with Christ. Well, they didn't do the job. They rejected the Holy Spirit. And so now God's going to change his mind. So he stands up, he judges Israel, goes, you know what, I've had enough with them. I've tried to get them to work, and they don't do what they're supposed to do. So the next thing we see is Paul is saved in Acts 9. And he's on the journey, and all of a sudden this light shines, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Then the Lord said, arise and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. All right? And so it says, but the Lord said to him, and this is to Ananias, he says, Ananias, I want you to go get Saul. And he says, he's torturing the church and that kind of thing. He says, no, for he is the chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings. And we see Paul go to a couple kings and the children of Israel. Paul always goes to the Jew first and then to the Gentile all the way through Acts, right? He first tells the Jew that he's the Messiah and that kind of thing that they rejected. They need acceptance. Then he goes to the Gentile and he gives them the grace message of you just believe by faith alone. Okay, two different ways. Circumcision, water baptism, all these things for Israel. Faith alone for the Gentile. Okay. All right, so I'm moving along. Are you following me? Because I feel like I'm taking an hour and a half and condensing into a few minutes. Okay. We get to chapter 10, and Peter is shown by God. First of all, we have this blanket that comes down, and there's all these creatures on there that Peter's not supposed to eat according to the law of Moses. And then God tells him, or Christ tells him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And then God says, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common or unclean." Okay, this was done three times and taken up, and now Peter's confused because he has always kept the law, and now God's telling him not to keep the law. Okay, so he's kind of freaked out. And so then we get to Acts 10:28, and what happens is Peter is told to go to Cornelius. Have you heard, do you know, are you familiar with chapter 10? Cornelius is an Italian officer, and he has a whole army underneath him. He's a Gentile, but he loves God, and he prays, and he gives people money, and so that what he gives went up as a sweet-smelling savor to God, it says. Okay, so now Peter, for the first time, listen to this, for the first time in his life, he's going to go into Gentiles. He's never been in Gentiles. Listen to what he says. "Then he said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company or to go to one of another nation, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean.'" So he could never do that. And you even remember when Jesus, in the law, you couldn't touch a Gentile. You couldn't touch a dead body. You couldn't touch somebody with disease, or you had to go through the cleansing process in the temple. And you even remember that there's a little girl that dies. She's sick, and they come and get him, and then he's going to her house. And he takes his this cloth that probably over his head, and he puts it underneath her and raises her up. Do you remember that story? And you think, why did he do that? Why didn't he just take her hand? Because if he took her hand, and he'd be ceremonial unclean. He'd have to go through the temple and go through a day cleansing. He didn't want to do that. So he just wrapped a cloth around her and pulled her up, and that way he was clean. Well, here, if Peter goes to a Gentile, he is unclean and has to go to the temple and be cleansed. And so he's saying, you know how it's unlawful for me. And he's telling all these Gentiles that are there. And then we get to 34, and this is Peter's conclusion. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In the truth, I perceive.'" Now, what does perceive mean? I think, right? I'm kind of thinking this is what it is. And so he says, "In the truth, I'm kind of thinking that God shows no partiality." Now, all of a sudden, he went from that blanket to realize that people, it includes people. "But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted to him." Is that the way we get saved? No. We believe by faith alone, right? Here, he's saying, now why is he saying that? Because that's the way a Jew is saved in that day. There is no other program, so he had to go with what the program was, okay? So then we get to verse 43, and he's telling them all about Christ, and he says, "To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes on him will receive remission of sins." And what would Peter say next? "Repent, therefore, right? And be baptized for remission of sins." It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, that's the Jew, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. So this is the first time the Holy Spirit falls on Gentiles. "For when they heard them speak with tongues," they heard them speak tongues and magnify God, and I'm sure the tongues were Hebrew, where the Gentiles were speaking to the Jews in Hebrew. "And then Peter answered, 'Can anyone forbid water?'" What does he mean by that? Can anyone not be baptized? Because what's the program? Be water baptized and then get Spirit. And what happened here? They got Spirit first. Oh, so they're already saved and they haven't been water baptized yet. So he's going, oh, wait, let's get them down to the puddle and get them baptized, right? And so then he commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Okay, now, so here we have 1 through 8 about Israel. Chapter 9, Paul gets saved, sent to the Gentiles. Chapter 10, Peter sees the chain. This is a real leadership principle. If you are in leadership, listen to me here. This is a biblical injunction for leadership. Anytime you make a change in your organization, you start from the top and go down. If you start from the bottom and go up, what happens? You try to change from the production floor, and then all of your managers are going to rebel because they didn't know. They're going, well, you never told me, right? But if you go to the manager and say, this is what we'd like to do, and they give their blessing, then the change happens. And so biblical principle, he goes to Peter because Peter's headed the church up to that point, right? And so he says, and so he shows Peter this change, and at the same time, Paul's walking around Saudi Arabia and this kind of thing, getting all the revelation from Christ about what he's supposed to do with the Gentiles. So what we've covered so far is water, John the Baptist and Christ, water and spirit, Christ baptizes them in the Holy Spirit, and then we have spirit, but there's a question about the water, okay? Should they even have water, okay? Now, so we're going to move to Paul's baptism here. I think I'm going to get this in. Unbelievable. Okay, so what does Paul say? Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul. This is 1 Corinthians. I am of Apollos. He's a preacher. I am Cephas. That's Peter. Or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus, Gaius, lest anyone should say I baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Okay, now, if you research that, you will find they are all Jews that he baptized. He's not, and so here's Corinth, this whole church with Jews and Gentiles in it. He doesn't baptize a single Gentile. He only baptizes these Jews. He said, besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. And then what's to say there? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Okay. All right. Everybody with me now? Okay. Am I hurting any feelings yet? Okay. Well, baptism is an emotional subject. And so I didn't get much sleep this week thinking about it because I thought, oh, you know, I know some people are going to be mad, you know, or whatever. But I need, it's in the scripture, and I got to talk about one baptism. Amen? Okay, all right. Okay. So water, John the Baptist and Christ. Water and spirit, Acts with Peter. Spirit and water with Peter and the Gentiles. And then we get to spirit. Okay. And here's the, and actually Paul doesn't talk much about baptism. He talks two or three passages about spirit. Listen to me on this. Paul is the apostle to who? The Gentiles, right? Not one time did he tell us to get baptized. This is what he says. For by one spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. So we have spirit baptized. Now, what's interesting here, and this is just a side note, who's doing the baptizing here? The Holy Spirit, right? He's baptizing every one of you the moment you believe you are baptized into Christ, you're identified with Christ. In Acts 2 with Peter, it's Christ baptizing them into the Holy Spirit, just the opposite. I think that's interesting because they're two different programs, I think. Okay. So we're going to look at Paul's baptism, water, water and spirit, spirit and water, and now a spirit alone. Israel's water baptism was for purification, accompanied by repentive works, and it was faith, and with that faith it was forgave their sins. Now we get to our verse, and this is one of the reasons, me personally, my hang-up, is I don't water baptize. Now, if you get water baptized, that's fine. We're going to talk about that in a second. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, two baptisms. One baptism. Which one is it? Is it water or is it Spirit? A spirit. In the body of Christ, we are baptized immediately. Okay, so here's the thing. Is water baptism wrong? I don't think so. Is there a commandment for us to be water baptized by Paul? No. So what we're dealing with here is there's a spirit baptism. It happens immediately. We're done. Now, what the church has done is has adopted the Jewish idea of immersion in a mikvah, and we do it water baptism. We do it. So it's really traditional, not scriptural. Okay? So now I want to say this. If you come to our church, and it took me, I was a Baptist. Okay? You get that? You know what I'm saying? It took me 6 years emotionally to get emotionally over what I read. I believed it right away, but boy, it took 6 years for me to emotionally get over it. So I don't expect you to go, oh, I'm fine, if you got a problem. It depends on what your roots are. Our roots were deep in the Baptist thing, and I'm not against Baptists. I'm just saying that's what we were. And so when I saw this truth, I thought, oh, my goodness. He doesn't command us to water baptize. He just tells us that we're already baptized the moment we believed. We're done. And so we have this baptism we borrowed from Israel and we made it into a Christian thing. And then it's a testimony, it's an outward work of an inward sign, whatever it may be. And listen, if you come to this church and you love me first, no, we love each other. Amen. And we love coming together, and you hold on to baptism, that's fine with me. I don't have a problem. But I emotionally can't do it. I tried. I even thought when I start this church, nobody will get it, and so I'll just baptize people till I can train them and help them understand the scriptures. First guy that came up to me said, would you baptize me? And I go, oh, I just can't do it. Because for me, it's like I'm violating the scripture as a pastor and teacher. Okay? Now, if you do it as a memorial, as a whatever it is, go for it. Okay? But understand, it's not a biblical injunction. It is a tradition. Right? Reminds me of Fiddler on the Roof, huh? Tradition. Okay. And so, I'm not upset if you come to me and you know what? I'm sorry. I just believe in water baptism. Great. Give me a hug. I don't have a problem. But I can't. I just feel like I would be teaching false doctrine as a teacher. Does that make sense? Okay, so I want you to understand, I'm the weak guy here. Okay, I've tried, I thought I could do it, I just can't do it because when it says one baptism, I don't know how to make it into two. All right, everybody following me? All right, okay, so that's it. I made it in 11:39 or 10:39. That's pretty good. That's usually an hour and a half or 2 weeks or 3 weeks study that I compress there. So if you hung on, I'm proud of you for hanging in there and seeing that whole thing. Let's pray. Father, we come today. Thank you for your word. Lord, when we get to Ephesians, there's so many neat things we see in here. And one of them is, Lord, I know just talking to people that most people in here are worried about water baptism. That somehow, should they baptize their kids? Should I be baptized? Should I be baptized again? All these kind of things. Lord, you said there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that's settled. And the moment we believe and we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, and we realize that he raised from the dead, that's a settled issue in our life, and there is no more. So, Lord, help us to, at least at this point, see that truth. Help us to get through it emotionally. Lord, we have borrowed so many things from the Jews and tried to make them Christian, and it's kind of messed us up, Lord. And so, Lord, will you help us through this? For some that may be really struggling here, will you help them through that struggle? And then, Lord, you tell us that water baptism, ultimately, isn't essential. Only spirit baptism is. And you tell us to keep the unity, that we need to see our spiritual baptism as part of that unity. And so, Lord, we thank you for that spiritual baptism. And may you be glorified in that. And while our heads are bowed, you may be here this morning, and maybe you don't even have a relationship with Christ. And let me talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we've all sinned, and we've fallen short of God's standard. And the wages of that sin is death, but it goes on in the same verse to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so it says in Romans 10:9, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so I'm going to say a little prayer. And if today is your day, you just pray along with me. And the prayer goes like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. Lord, I believe that you rose from the dead, and that you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today, and may I live for you. Our heads are bowed. If you prayed that prayer this morning, a minute, will you raise your hand up, put it down, let God know you meant business this morning. Just put it up, put it back down. Anybody? Father, I thank you. With no hands going up, I think that, and I look around, I realize that pretty much everybody's already made that decision this morning, and we thank you that you've made it so easy for Gentiles. We're a people that are not the people of the law. And because Israel didn't do their job, you turned it over to Paul and turned it over to us, and we're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, may we grow and grow and become more like Christ in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.